Well, we're going to, you might as well just turn to the first page of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. We'll start there. But I have a couple of questions. I thought about this topic, and it's a blessing, a comfort to all of God's people. But here's the questions that I have. How do we, or how can we, have tremendous assurance that, one, this book is true? We gather together every Sunday, every Wednesday, Bible class. This book is always used. It's always open. It's always referred to. How can we know? How can we have tremendous assurance that this book is true? Secondly, how can we know that we have life everlasting? How can we know that? And thirdly, how do we know that we shall endure unto the end? Because it seems like a long time ago since I think the Lord first did something for me. But there was a time that I made a profession and thought I was okay, but I wasn't. Until the good news, the free grace of God, crossed my path. But sometimes I still ask myself this: how do I know that I shall endure to the end? Because the scriptures is very clear. Only those who endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Put another way, how do I know and how do you know that you will make it to Canaan land? Or as Mr. Bunyan so adequately puts it, how do we know we're going to make it to the celestial city? Well, there's three simple words for us today. He hath said. He hath said, or God hath said. I would like you to look with me at several scriptures. First of all, to develop the foundation that God is not man, and therefore he cannot lie. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And you know what? There was light. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. And verse 7 at the last part, and it was so. Verse 9 of Genesis 1, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place. And the last part of that verse, and it was so. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass. And the latter part of verse 11, and it was so. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament. And verse 15, the last words, and it was so. So we could go on and to look at verse 20 and 24. And 26, and God said, and God said, in the latter part of those verses, and it was so, and it was so. This tells me that God is altogether independent of all things. He is not enhanced by any or anyone. None give him more excellent knowledge or power. He is not added to or sustained by anything. He is singular and independently free from all entities. Or as A.W. Pink states, he is solitary in his majesty, unique in his excellency, and peerless in his perfections. What God says will stand and will not fail. He hath said. Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. I still remember using this illustration with our daughter She was growing up. We loved to see the rainbow. Oh, how we loved to see the rainbow. After rain, we'd run outside and look to the east, and we would see a rainbow. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 17, "And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon earth." He said, and starting back in verse 8 of the same chapter, "God spoke unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, I, behold, I will establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, the cattle, the beasts of the earth, from all that go out of the ark, and every beast of the earth. I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. And God said," there we go, "He hath said, this is the token of the covenant which I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow," the rainbow, "in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth and the bow shall be seen in the cloud, I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh." Now, I don't want to get political here, and I'm not going to get political here, but I am going to say something. There are those today who say the temperatures are going to raise and all, and then the flood levels are going to come up, and it's just going to... Nope. Not going to happen. Why? God hath said. God spoke it. He said it. And he says we. He says all flesh. All flesh. I don't think the flood levels rise are going to end all flesh. Nope. God said it right here. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. And verses 15 through 18. Deuteronomy 18. "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, and him he shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said," there you go, "unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise up them a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." The promise of the Messiah. God hath said. And he confirms this in Psalms chapter 2 and verse 7. You don't have to look there. And if you just read the Gospels, we know that Christ came. We know that Christ came. Again, God has said that he would bring forth a redeemer of men's soul. He would bring forth the substitute, would be provided, sustained, and maintained by God himself. And as I said, all we need to do to confirm this is read the four Gospels, that God is telling the truth and would lie not. Salvation will be had. Sinners like you and I can find forgiveness with God. And that's only through his dear son. Or put another way, it's only through the balm in Gilead. There is balm. There's healing salve in Gilead. Or put another way, there's salvation in a kinsman redeemer. One like us, like he says, would be raised like us. Next of kin, near kin, to redeem or buy back. his people from their sins. Put another way, we do have Jacob. We do have a Jacob's ladder. I remember as a little kid hearing this in Bible class, and it's just like, what is in Methodist Church? Of course, nothing was being said there. It's like, what is, I remember the story, but it's just like it doesn't make any sense until God opens the book and we see people climbing up to heaven, not by Babel, not by their own will, their own works, their own way, but upon that ladder, upon the Lord Jesus Christ and what he is and what he has done, and only because he has done what he has done. Jacob's ladder. In another place he said he's called David's Lord. Why? The Lord has said. He has said. Well, I have this other question. What else has our sweet sovereign stated for our comfort and for helps in times of need? Look at these scriptures. Now, there's a bunch more, but these are these are wonderful. Isaiah chapter 31. Isaiah chapter 31. How do we know that we're going to endure to the end? Because he doesn't lose any one of his sheep. How do we know that this book is correct? Because we've seen what God has said, then it was. All throughout the history of what we would call history of man, God has purposed, he's decreed, and it's another phrase in scriptures, as God has said. You know, all this has taken place. Well, you know, when in the Kings, in Chronicles, he said, all this has taken place as God has said. As God has said. Isaiah 31 and verse 4. Let's read 1 through 4. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet he is also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they all shall fail together. For thus hath the Lord spoken. Like unto the lion and young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. For Mount Zion, the Lord has said, he has said that he will be our protector. He will be our defender, our shield, our exceeding high tower. I, says our King, our Lord, will fight for you. He will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. God has said. God has said. Isaiah 58. Matter of fact, I remember, oh my, it had been probably 30 or something years ago. I remember Palestinians and Israel, they're always fighting. You know, it's Esau, Ishmael, and Isaac, always fighting, always going to fight. And I remember somebody, the president or secretary of state, I just remember like it was yesterday. I can't remember the names. I can't remember the Israel prime minister. He's gone. But they said, what gives you the right to say this is your land? And he actually opened up a Bible and said, God has said. That's what he's, of course, nobody, well, that's just your, no, God has said, I'm going to give this land to the people. I just thought that, we was like, all of a sudden, what? Yeah. Yes. Isaiah 58, verse 14. Verses 13 and 14. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The Lord has said. He has spoken to us in this passage of feeding us, bearing us up, sweet communion with our lovely Lord Christ. So let us feed upon Him, upon His Word. Let us feed together as we gather together, as we meet in this, in fellowship, in all, it's all around and all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord hath said it. He's not saying, if you do this, I'm going to do this. His people do this. His people honor and glorify Him. And He's in our forefront of our mind. And therefore He has said, I will feed you, bear you up. I will have sweet communion with you. I will abide in you. Because He has said. Not because we do, but because He has said. Joel chapter 2. Be around Amos. Yeah. Joel chapter 2, verse 26 through 32. Joel chapter 2, verses 26 through 32. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also the servants upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. As the Lord, this is all going to take place because He said it. He said it. He has said He will save, He will keep, He will deliver those for whom He foreknew, or in New Testament terms, foreloved. And I asked, when I'm going through this, I'm asking myself, how can this be so? How can God be just and justify the ungodly? How can God clean someone who is born of woman? Because He never changes. He never alters. And the thing which comes out of His mouth is above all else true. So somebody says something to you, and it causes you to doubt your salvation, or the flesh, or the Satan, or whoever attacks you. That's why on Wednesday nights we're going through the promises of God. You take those promises that He has given you. You specifically, personally. He's writing checks. You take that. It's specifically in your name. And you cash it. Spurgeon, which we'll see later on, he even goes so far as to say, underline them and date them in your Bible. Now, my study Bible at home has got a bunch of dates on them. And if I'm looking at something or whatever, I'll go through my study Bible and look, oh, the Lord gave me a promise. I remember what that was about. And it's just all stuff just, it flies away. Doubt, anguish. But he says this in Joel, chapter 2. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and starting in verse 14, 15, and 16. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion light hath, with light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now that's a direct, that's a quote from Leviticus 26. As God hath said, he has promised to dwell in us and enable us to please him and agree with him and follow after him. We agree with him on what he says about himself. Totally sovereign, totally in control. We totally agree that none can stay his hand or say unto him, what are you doing? We totally are in agreement with him on what he says about us and our sin and our corruptions and our vileness. But we also know that he came into the world to save sinners from their sins. We totally agree that it is Christ and his substitutionary work for us. We agree with what this book says about that he rose, he died the third day, rose on the third day, he rose from the grave, led captivity captive, and is now seated at God's right hand because the work is finished. It is finished. We totally agree with this. God dwelling in man, wonder of wonders, oh beloved, truly this is good news. Why? Because David said it. His son, who was the wisest man that ever lived. A preacher said it. If he said it from the Word. God hath said. And lastly, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I, Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit, all the three in one in the Trinity, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It was God the Father who chose, God the Son who died, and God the Holy Spirit who quickens. They're all three involved in salvation. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let me read what the Amplified says. This is good. For God himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without the support. Without support. I will not, in any degree, leave you helpless, nor forsake you, or let you down, or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Now that's expanded version of what the Greek is supposed to say, but he has said, I will never. That is not at all in any case. It's a double negative, and that's added for further strength. Amazing grace. What amazing love. What amazing keeping mercy. Now, how does this do the believer any good? How does this do anybody any good? Maybe God's got his hand on you and is beginning to do something. Flee to him. He hath said. But to the believer, can we not simply take him at his word? We do other people worse. So, you know, husbands, wives, or co-workers, if they say something to us, we sometimes foolishly will believe everything they say. But God, what he says is it's guaranteed. Absolutely guaranteed. So I say, away with thee, O unbelief. Take wings of flight, doubt. hide yourself murmuring and come near peace. Come near hope. And come here eternal consolation. All because He hath said. Flee to Him with these words of refuge. Satan may accuse. Your neighbors may accuse. And yourself, the worst, may accuse you. Stand and say, by God's grace, He hath said. And as I said, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And what is Ecclesiastes? A threefold cord. It's not easily broken. And in this case, never. No, never. No, never. May the Lord bless and honor the preaching of His word. Bruce, would you close us, please?